You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
He put together a top-notch team, and he was criticized and ridiculed, as he usually is, and tried to be torn down by the far left and by the liberal press. And despite that, he just carried on. He did what he needed to do for our country. He, put the travel ban in place. He protected us. And, you know, what we see going on in Italy right now and in Iran, I think, is not going to happen here because of the president's quick and decisive actions. I think we're going to be more in line with what's going on in South Korea and things of that nature. We're going to see that we got on this early. The president stopped this from entering our country very quickly, and that's going to save countless American lives.
Dr. Ronnie Jackson, former White House physician. This is March 17, 2020, St. Paddy's Day. And President Trump just finished addressing the nation from the Oval Office, answering questions for reporters, laying out more details of what we're doing to fight coronavirus, and he again is enlisting the help of private enterprise. Such a wise move. He did it yesterday and 2 days and a week ago when he began to bring in different companies working with the government to develop vaccines, escalate things, find out what you need, what we can do to help protect your company during this time, and in turn, help your employees, because they're going to be suffering during all this self-containment. The president's doing everything right, and yet the left continues to assail him and attack him. And why? Because it's the resist movement, and two, because they think they can pin everything on him that goes wrong. He will get no credit. He will get only blame. Have you heard any Democrat? Have you heard one single Democrat come forward and praise President Trump for what he's doing? One! The closest you've heard is from California Governor Newsom saying, well, I talked to the president. He said, whatever we need, we'll help him with. And he said, they've been right there for us. He's helped us. Other than that, silence, crickets. We're going to get into that a little bit more detail later, because while they try to weaponize COVID-19 as a political weapon to destroy Trump, I want to remind you some history. I'm going to take you back to Obama and H1N1 and what took place, and the difference in how it was treated not only by the White House, but by the press corps. I didn't fire the first shot on this, but I'll make sure we continue to fire volley after volley at them, because their entire intent is to make this president, the regime, look bad. And I say regime, I know some of you jumped in and said, well, it sounds like a foreign government. I'm just talking about the White House administration. And then the president, when he finished talking a few moments ago, Dow Jones moving back up again, jumping. We're up something like 650 points from yesterday. As he announced, we're going to continue to work with groups, everything from fast food restaurants to whatever we can do to reach out when people are in need. And, of course, they're pushing for this $850 billion stimulus package. The Senate moving forward on that is not everything that some senators want, but apparently it includes something like $800 billion in economic stimulus, $500 billion in a payroll tax cut, $250 billion in small business association loans. That's critical for mom and pop and the smaller stores. $53 billion for the airlines and other items. All of this to make things better as we work together to fight this. And, of course, we are in the middle of the election calendar. Primaries are going forward in three states today, Illinois being one of them, Arizona and Florida. Ohio saying, we're going to bow out. We're not going to do our primary today. Dr. Gerard Lamero will join us later on the issue of how this virus in general will be affecting our nation and the election process. And Hans von Spakovsky will be joining us. Specific question for him, can the president use this as an excuse and or reason, valid reason, to delay the 2020 election. We've got a lot to cover for you over the next 2 hours. We're going to give you a lot more details on what's going on to battle COVID-19, the vaccines, the success there, and also the continuous sniping of the White House. And again, don't forget, if you want a perfect example of just how bad this is overall across the world, as I said, this is St. Paddy's Day. You know what they're doing in Ireland? This, if you had any doubt, this is a serious issue. In Ireland, they're closing all of the pubs, all pubs closed on St. Paddy's Day. Say it ain't so. It is so. Lug and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We are not living in ordinary times. Okay, these are not ordinary times. This is not a bunch of businesses who made a bad decision and now are looking for the government to help them out. This is a virus that threatens our economy, because in order to prevent this virus from killing a lot of people, we have to force people or ask people to stay home and not go to businesses. And the result is people are going to lose their jobs. Businesses are going to close.
That is Senator Marco Rubio of Florida and Miami. Miami now ordering all non-essential businesses to close. This is hopefully going to be for a period of time of maybe only 2 weeks. That's what the president's been pushing. It could go longer, and it might go longer. But as you heard Senator Rubio say, what we're doing here in trying to get money into the businesses and into the people, it's not a matter of this business was poorly managed and just went broke and we're supposed to help them. We are at a national crisis. It is a national emergency. However, the president's also made it clear, no, I see no need at this time to have a national quarantine. He's leaving a lot of this to the states as to how they move forward with it. Now, Senator Cotton has already suggested maybe we do need a national quarantine. We're going to get into that in more detail. I mentioned the president was speaking just before we went on the air. I'm looking at the stock market from the time he started speaking. It was down around 21,000. Now showing, it's just below 21,000. Now 21,400. And it will continue to go, but that you can't judge anything on any daily basis by the market. But while we're always talking about how much has been going down, I want to give you some balance. Right now, the market is up from its close yesterday, 1,100 plus points. That's almost 6% up from when it went down to about 7.5% yesterday. Everybody and everything is watching what's happening, not only us, but across the world. We do need Congress to go forward quickly. It's no business either fail or start reopening. We need to be ready. We need to start helping them get some kind of revenue. And as Senator Rubio said, when it comes to this stimulus package the president's been pushing and the way it's coming out of the House and some things we want done in the Senate, we've got to get our act together. We need this now. It's time sensitive.
What the House passed is not perfect, but I think the price of inaction at this point is way too high. In the meantime, whatever's wrong with that bill, we will look to fix in a bill that will start here in the Senate that we need to pass very quickly and that I think will be focused on, number one, getting allowing airlines to continue to operate, because if we shut down the airlines, we're going to have not a very different country. We're not going to be able to move people around, important trips that need to happen for public health and for national security and so forth. And the second is we need to get funds, we need to get liquidity into the hands of small businesses who are not going to be able to meet payroll as required under the paid leave requirements of the House bill and are going to struggle to be around 4, 6, 8, 12 weeks from now when everything sort of settles down a little bit. And so that's the part that we're focused on. We've got a pretty good outline that's bipartisan. Obviously, we need to hear from more of our colleagues, but that's the piece I'm going to focus on, and we need to move on that very, very fast.
Senator Rubio appearing on Fox News. Move on it very, very fast. And as I said, the city of Miami has issued an order already, an order that if you're a non-essential business, you should close. Yes, that includes restaurants, bars, and so forth. I know some of you might think, well, that's essential because I don't want to cook at home. Or I want to go out for a drink. I want to go have a party. They're telling them you need to close down. And, of course, everyone is being advised to don't gather in clusters of more than 10. Will that really have any effect? You can't deny that it might. We got members of Congress at this time working from their home, using their offices and phones as opposed to gathering the best they can. And you heard the Marco Rubio say, we've got to support the airlines. We've got to get the airlines, make sure they're going, because if we don't have them flying, we've got additional problems. Do you remember the last time we had no planes in the air over this nation? No planes in the air. That's right, 9/11. That was a national emergency. That was brought on by terrorist threat, and of course we didn't know what we needed to do to make sure those planes would be under command of pilots, not hijackers. And so we did what we had to. This president is doing what he needs to and has to do right now, and he has done more than just give us an advantage of several weeks. I mean, we've heard from numerous sources. What he has done is helped us get several weeks down the road and get ready a little bit better than if he had not shut down those airline flights coming from China. And now that he's also included Europe, he's adding an additional buffer. All of this is a plus for us. And then also the fact that he got businesses, private industry, pharmaceuticals coming together to work with the government on expediting testing and vaccines, getting test kits available, getting them out. He was cutting through red tape which would absolutely strangle our nation at this point. Dr. Fauci of the infectious disease talked about the speed of getting this vaccine.
The vaccine candidate that was given the first injections for the first person took place today. You might recall when we first started, I said it would be 2 to 3 months. And if we did that, that would be the fastest we've ever gone from obtaining the sequence to being able to do a phase one trial. This has been now 65 days, which I believe is the record.
65 days. Now, again, that's creating a vaccine, which they're now beginning to test, and they're trying to do what they can. And again, it's because they brought private enterprise together with government working together that they also quickly were able to ID the virus and get a good handle on it. Dr. Mulligan of the Infectious Disease Control.
It really has been amazing the speed at which science has jumped on this virus, which first appeared in December, and then by early January, the virus was identified. On January 10th, a sequence was made available by the Chinese, and that was a wonderful thing. Very quickly, the NIH took that virus sequence and created a vaccine candidate, which, as you have said on your show, went into the first human clinical trial today. So here we are, just 3 months, roughly, after this virus
was first identified. And that's record-breaking, sir.
Absolutely. That's the quickest that's ever been done. We're in a real challenge, and we'd like it to be even faster, but that is amazing.
That's Dr. Mulligan appearing last night on Hannity. It is amazing. Do you hear anyone on the left praising the president for what he's doing to protect our nation, to protect their family, to make sure that once all of this is done with, we can quickly get a reset for the economy? No. No, you don't. They continue to use it as a political weapon against Trump. Let me remind you some of the things the left has pushed for in the past. The left has, even now they're coming up with some of the most stupid ideas. Tell me how you think this would play out. The ACLU is looking at migrants, illegals held in a Seattle detention center. And they say because this virus is spreading, you should release all of those folks from the detention center. Well, now, would that sound like a good idea? Take everyone in this detention center and set them free to roam about the country, whether or not they're properly vaccinated, have a vaccination, which we're still trying to develop? Does that make any sense? Any sense whatsoever? No. In fact, some of the things that the left is always pushing, we have to have mass transit. If they had had their way, you would not have your car, your ability to go on your own as you need to from place to place. You would have to allow mass transit. Many people have to. But right now they're trying to decide, well, if I need to get to the store, how do I get on a bus full of other people and do what I need to and get back home without getting sick? If the left had had its way, you would have no option. If the left had its way, we would have open borders. Let them pour across from the south. Let them pour across, be infected, infect the rest of the nation. We don't care. Am I saying everybody in the southern hemisphere is sick and diseased? No. But obviously there are some. And we know that some 300 Chinese have been stopped at our border over the recent months. I don't know how many of them have or have not been tested. You want a clear clarification of what we need to be doing? It should be right in your face. You should not even have to argue this against the liberals. When it comes to border patrols, border control, border security, and it's not just for national security of preventing terrorist acts, but health. Do you see what Canada did yesterday? Oh, this is rich. If you're not a Canadian citizen, the border is closed. You cannot go into Canada. The border is closed in Canada. We're not stopping anybody, to my knowledge, coming from Canada. And, of course, we have all this issue going on with the elections, how it's going to be affecting everything. We're going to get into that in more detail in a moment. But Senator Cotton, as I'd said a moment ago, said maybe we need to take more drastic measures. He said maybe what seems extreme today will seem obvious tomorrow. And that's true. Some of the money we're talking about spending, you think, wow, that's pretty outlandish. But then again, maybe we're going to need more because it's not a matter of taking care of what's happening just now, but down the road. But again, when it comes to, as Senator Cotton was suggesting, maybe a national shutdown of everything except essential work. In other words, a national quarantine, curfew, call it what you want, he said, but only absolutely essential work should continue. Groceries, pharmacies, supply, transport, health care, electricity, water, sanitation, everyone else should stay home. Well, I don't know if he's talking about news. I don't know if he's talking about news coverage. I doubt it. I don't know if he's talking about this program. I doubt it. But my job, and as far as I see, is to be here as often as long as I can for you. If I end up having to broadcast from home, we'll make arrangements. But I've got to have a crew here at the station, so if they got to be here, unless I'm contagious, I should be here with them. But President Trump is reassuring Americans. At this point, not nationwide. We may look at certain areas, certain hot spots. We'll be looking at that, but at this moment, no, we're not. He's again encouraging the public to do what's needed. Self-contain. Businesses to do what's needed. As they have done in one of the greatest places I thought would never have something like this happen, Vegas. Pretty much shutting down the strip. Major casinos shutting down. And more doing. And then I saw a word coming out of Knowledge yesterday. Bourbon Street being closed down. The casino at New Orleans being shut down. Major movie chains are just going ahead and shutting down the theaters. And then, of course, what are we going to do about these elections? And big question, could all of this delay the 2020 election? And is that part of the game plan of the left, thinking that if we got more time, we might win? Or are they already making up their list of excuses because the election's held on time and they lose again? He should have delayed it because he endangered the public. We got a lot to cover. And we've just started this hour. Please stand by.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. Redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So, of course, you can go to Larry Connors USA Facebook, send us a text. I try to watch over it during the program since we really don't bother taking calls because I got so much material to cover. But you can send a text. I'll try to read them on the air. Larry Connors USA Facebook. And I mentioned a moment ago about how Las Vegas was shutting down the major casinos. I had not seen anything. I mentioned that the Wynn casinos and what was the other, MGM properties, no word on Caesars at that point. I haven't double-checked on it. And the Venetian is another big property next to the Wynn. I like playing in the poker room at the Venetian, very nice and so forth. Well, I just saw a tweet. I don't know if this is accurate. It appears to be directly from the Venetian poker room, saying due to restrictions from the Nevada Gaming Control Board, all play in the poker room will have a maximum of 3 players per table. Now, normally when you're playing poker, you want a table of 10, dealer and 10 players. All right, a dealer and 9 players, we'll take that. And, of course, if you got a short table, you have it. If you're in a tournament, you might get down to just 3 players, but you want more players. You want more cash on the table. If they're limiting it to 3 players, the players themselves will make the decisions, not going to go into play. And many of them already done that anyway. I've been watching some of the numbers out of other casinos, and their numbers of games underway are way, 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 way down, understandably. Players aren't bothering, so the casinos also make the decision. We'll just shut down, as they did with the Harrah's in Nawlins just yesterday. We do not know what's going on in North Korea. We know very little what's going on in China as to how they're dealing with the virus. Supposedly, they're getting better. North Korea is another question mark. We have seen, according to U.S. Forces Korean Commander General Robert Abrams, that for about 30 days, their armed forces have apparently been down on a lockdown. Now, the North Korean Air Force did not fly a single plane for 24 days. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has not been noted to be in the capital for more than 2 weeks. Looks like he's somewhere far, far away from the populace and the unwashed so he can protect himself. And, of course, they continue to insist, no, we don't have any. Right. Satellite images have captured mass graves being dug in Iran. Bodies dumped into those graves. Iran says it's fake. In this nation, we have elections, of course, underway with the primaries today. Today in Illinois, Florida, Arizona. And they are holding those contests. Don't know what the turnout's going to be. It'll be interesting to see. Ohio, they were supposed to have a primary, but the governor decided to shut it down, and a court agreed with him. But these are the primaries. What about moving into 2020, the general election in November? Could the president use all of this that we see happening now to delay the 2020 election? And if he does, what happens then? We'll take a break. When we come back, buckle up, because Hans von Spakovsky will join us, and he'll give you a very legal and candid opinion about the president and his ability to delay the 2020 election.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Warning, don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build for your business to grow, call General Steel today for a pre-engineered steel building designed for your needs. No wasted space. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building. And you can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. As much as half. But you must call now. If you need a church building, office, warehouse, manufacturing space, retail space, or more, call General Steel today. You can still get the General's 50-year structural warranty and General Steel quality, all at a price you can afford. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great.
800-617-4950. 800-617-4950. 800-617-4950. That's 800-617-4950.
I started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We welcome back. Always glad to have on board Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. Glad to have you again, sir.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for having me back.
Well, I tell you what, this was a crisis issue, and I noted you'd already taken note of it in a piece you wrote anyway. The pressing question, we've seen primaries today, Ohio deciding they could get by without holding their primary, Illinois, right. Florida going ahead, other states have theirs coming, and the question being about primaries being delayed, but the bigger question is, can the president delay the 2020 general election?
He cannot. The answer is a very simple no. So for all those paranoid liberal reporters out there speculating about that, no, he can't. Under the Constitution, it's Congress that's given complete authority to set the date for both congressional elections and for the votes for the electors of the Electoral College. And as you know, by federal law, that for a very long time has been the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. This year, that's November 3rd. So only Congress could change the date of the general election. And to do that, they would have to pass a bill. It'd have to go through the House and the Senate. The president would have to sign it into law. They'd have to pass a bill amending the current federal statute. You know, what's interesting about this is the federal government's got no control over state primaries. That's completely up to the state government. And in some states, Florida actually is a good example of one, by state law, the governor actually is given the authority to move the date of a state election based on a declaration of an emergency. So some governors can do that in some states, but there is no similar provision for the president. So only Congress can do something about it.
Well, now, speaking of that, I believe you noted, and I rely on you, of course, for full facts, this delay of a primary did happen in New York because 9/11 attacks.
No, that's exactly right. I think a lot of people didn't realize it, but 9/11, September 11, 2001, was the date of the statewide New York primary election. And actually, polls opened at 6 a.m. that morning, and it was only after the attacks that Governor Pataki at that time, Governor of New York, suspended the election because of those attacks, and they rescheduled it for 2 weeks later.
Well, of course, we don't know how long this is going to go, and
right.
we're a long ways out from November, but the primaries, the essential need for the primaries is in advance, at least for the Democrats, for their election, their convention coming up. So if it continues to cause delays, the Ohio governor insists we'll still get it done in June in time for them to know what electors they get when they go to the primary, to their convention.
Yeah, and what makes this different from what happened in New York on 9/11, of course, is that, I mean, look, on 9/11, there was actual physical disruption and destruction of a massive amount in New York that prevented people from voting. Here, look, everybody in the country can vote without ever leaving their home because every single state has an absentee ballot process. You know, you can request an absentee ballot. It gets mailed to you. You complete it. You stick it in your mailbox. So even if you're quarantined and you have to stay home, you're still going to be able to vote.
As we watch this quarantine spread out, Senator, I know you guys at Heritage are very big about dealing with the policy, not the politics. But Senator Cotton talking about maybe we might need to consider a national quarantine, shutting down all but truly essential businesses.
Well, look, I'm not going to comment on that because I'm not a doctor. The one cautionary note I think advance is that I don't think we want to overreact, go overboard with this. Yeah, we need to take the steps we think necessary to prevent this from spreading. But on the other hand, while we should be concerned about people, you know, the fatality rate for this is extremely low. And I wonder whether are we overreacting as a nation to this? I don't know.
Well, our numbers, the latest numbers I've seen, are 5,000 infections reported, documented, around 100 deaths. And for a nation of 320 million plus, yeah, the numbers are extremely low. And in Nevada, I mean, they had one case reported, and immediately they started shutting down the strip. I mean, as if, we got to shut it down. Folks aren't going to come anyway.
Right. And, you know, it's going to be quite something. For example, in places like the District of Columbia, where I am, right now, the mayor has ordered all the restaurants and bars and things like that to close.
You mentioned, as we began this conversation, you said, as compared to some of the liberal media believing that Trump can control this election, that to me becomes another part of the story where we're seeing the left push this as weaponizing the virus And I know you. I want to be careful with you on the alignment that, I mean, the territory you're willing to go through, and that is taking this virus. I can already hear 2020 election Trump winning again, and the complaints will be it got rigged during the virus or because of that. I mean, I can already hear that argument starting.
Yeah, and I think that would be the wrong thing for people to say. Although, again, I mean, I might mention, you know, there are some people who claim that that's the reason Michael Bloomberg got elected mayor of New York. He actually was running. He was a relative political unknown on 9/11, running in that GOP primary. And there are folks that say that the delay in the election is what helped him win the GOP primary and then get elected mayor of New York City.
Yeah, and that's where I was going to circle back on that very point, because as you said, you called him in your article a political unknown. I in my mind, I thought Michael Bloomberg had been pretty well known, especially in New York. I didn't realize he was a political unknown at that point.
Well, he may have been. He was known as a businessman, but as a politician or somebody running for office, he really was a political unknown at the time.
So what are you seeing? Are you working in the Heritage Foundation? You guys kind of doing the best you can from the home? Or are you doing some gathering? Or tell me what life is in D.C. for everyone.
Like a lot of businesses, we are trying to get everybody to work remotely. I actually am in the office today, but I have to tell you I'm one of the few people in the building.
And what do you see on the streets of D.C. and the businesses and I know members of Congress are doing the best they can, too, to use only essential staff and go by phone.
The city is basically empty. Traffic this morning coming into the city, which normally is extremely clogged, extremely busy, it's like the middle of the night in terms of hardly any traffic on the streets.
Have you been interested in, and I should say been surprised by how fast this president has brought together private enterprise and government to deal with, you know, whatever crisis we might face on economic and or getting vaccine and testing out?
I'm not surprised by it, but that's because, look, he came from being a businessman running a large organization, a series of organizations, and he clearly had the experience to do that. I think if we had somebody who was just a politician as president who'd never actually run a big organization, I think this would have been much more problematic.
Hans, one other question, and we always appreciate your time. In the mind of many Americans, they think, well, you know, 14 days, maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks. You kind of have in your mind what you see as some conclusion coming?
Yeah, because apparently again, I'm not a doctor or an expert on infectious diseases, but apparently the real problem is getting it under control early to stop the spread of the disease. Because the bigger the spread, the more people that get it, the harder it is to contain. So if you can catch it early and contain it early, that's when you can hopefully force it to subside. And apparently, you know, the president's taking the steps he thinks are necessary to do that.
Very good. Hans, again, the president cannot do anything to delay the 2020 election.
Correct.
All right. That's the answer. Simple. Hans von Spakovsky, thank you again for joining us, sir.
Sure thing, Larry. See you later.
You bet. Always glad to have the man on board. He's got so much background detail. He had won a Pulitzer Prize at one time for a series entitled Every Single One. I'm going to have to try to schedule an opportunity to have an interview with him just on that Pulitzer Prize series. I think that was, let me see, how long ago was that? I can't find the facts here in front of me. But an amazing source for us. Yeah, we got the phone. We're dead. I know, Quentin took care of it. Quentin said, oh, my bad. Yeah, it's your bad. I didn't do it. That's on you, buddy. See? I learned that. Listen, in TV work, if I missaid anything on the air, it wasn't my fault as a teleprompter operator. I can always lay blame. Don't you worry about that. Speaking of laying blame, we will deal with that in more detail coming up in the next hour. as to how the liberal media and the leftists are coming together to put blame on everyone, including the president, of course, for what we're dealing with. And I'm going to tell you in the next segment about something being delayed because of the coronavirus. Ironic as hell. An execution, a state execution, delayed because of coronavirus. I'll explain.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Change, change, change. Change, change, change.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Listen, I've got a list of the states and cities banning in-person dining at restaurants and bars. My gosh, what an extensive list. I got a notice yesterday on my phone from a business I often go to. They sent out word said that we think it's best that we close for a period of time. And this involves two restaurants. The guy that owns both of them says, I think we're going to shut down for a period of time for the benefit of consumers and, of course, our staff and the need to help the nation. California has yet to order bars and restaurants to close. Excuse me. A little cough. Don't worry about it. Just a little cough. Clear my throat. But the governor did say that he wants to see bars, nightclubs, wineries, and breweries closing in California. The L.A. mayor did order all bars and restaurants to close through March 31st. Connecticut doing similar. Illinois governor ordering bars and restaurants to close beginning at 9 o'clock as of yesterday. Denver has similar rules. Indiana, Kentucky, Louisiana. And as I mentioned earlier, they were actually sending police down the streets of Bourbon Street trying to clear people off before midnight. And the casino in New Orleans, the Big Harrah's, sending out word it's closing. We're going to have a lot of folks without any income. Wait staff, cooks, dishwashers. Then you're going to be affecting cabs and Ubers. Folks were counting on that kind of income because no one's going anywhere. And events, of course, that are being shut down where folks would be employed to do maintenance or cleanup, ticketing, things of this nature. That's why the president's pushing forward to get this bill passed as quickly as possible. $800 billion stimulus package that includes another $250 billion just for small business. And we have, of course, an idiotic idea or proposal that come from some on the left, give everybody in the nation $1,000. Really. If you went down the street and you found every homeless person, which you're going to find on every corner, waiting for the traffic to come and stop, give them $1,000, do you think that's going to take care of them through the coronavirus? It might help them, but they weren't earning that anyway. And for many people, I would have to tell you, if it were coming to that, use it for other people. I don't need it. Sure, I'd like to have it, but not going to do it. That's not going to solve anything, but that's their idea. Throw money to it without concern as to how it's being spent. That's the difference. If it helps, great. But here's another example where we have gone overboard on what we're dealing with and trying to deal with when it comes to coronavirus. Dateline, Texas. A 44-year-old in 2009 stabbed his pregnant wife to death, then used a baseball bat to bludgeon his father-in-law, then used the same bat to beat to death his own 5-year-old daughter. Three deaths. So he's scheduled for execution. Now, when you have an execution, you have a number of people involved with it. witnesses. They may be members of the press. They may be family members. It may be law enforcement members. It may be relatives of the inmate. I know the execution I witnessed when Missouri resumed its executions and began with George Tiny Mercer. I think there might have been maybe six of us reporting, maybe four, I can't recall now, and then probably another 10 to 12 people made up of victims' families and our prosecutors or law enforcement, so they're all part of it. So they have decided that because he killed his family, and he killed them simply because he wanted to date a woman at a local store. Killed all of them, including his daughter. And they have had a defense attorney argue successfully, you cannot put him to death now. It might assist in spreading COVID-19. In her petition to the appeals court, gathering all these people in one location presents a substantial risk of transmitting COVID-19. No, you could still carry that out. You have the essential personnel that are already masked anyway. Don't bother sterilizing a needle. You're going to put it in the guy's arm. Why do you sterilize a needle or his arm? You have them and you put the rest of it, feed it out video-wise. They can watch via video. But the state of Texas, or at least down there, they got a judge to go along with it. The Texas Court of Criminal Appeals say he can stay alive for another 60 days. Ironic, isn't it? Yeah. All right, the left continues to weaponize coronavirus as a weapon against President Trump. I'm going to remind you, I'm going to take you back in history with former President Obama and H1N1, and what a difference we saw then compared to now. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.